Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, we got tangled up there. You know, emotions from both sides kind of went up, and it was too much.
Yeah, it was a weird bench clearing. You know, the guy's jumping up to make a play. I don't know what he's mad about. So I don't know about a rivalry. We got a job to do. You know, we're just out trying to play ball, so I got nothing.
No, Aaron. Look at the replay, Aaron. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. He jumped up to make a play. He did. But on his way down, he took an extra little squat and then a shove to the guy's head. Look at the replay, man. You know what I mean? Don't say nothing. If just don't say anything. But Reyes put a little mustard on that hot dog, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look.
And Kierstead took exception to it.
Well, and Kierstead's also the guy who got hit in the head by the Yankees last year. So it's like you get hit in the head again. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I totally understand it. And by the way, like we say this from time to time, but there are certain people when you see them get angry, you're wondering, like, is it just because, like, Kierstead's not one of those guys that I've seen have any type of altercation, for anyone.
He is you're going by how he looks.
Mm-hmm.
He is what he looks like.
Yeah.
He is that guy. He's not.
Oh, I definitely stereotyped him from watching him, but I haven't seen anything that demonstrative from him.
He's not looking for problems.
Yeah.
You know, he's not that guy. I'm not looking for trouble. You jumped up, you landed. And instead of running, you give me an extra little squat, and then you reach back to shove. Come on, man. You ain't going to punk me out here. No. It's not going to happen.
And
he said, don't effing push my face again. And I don't blame him.
Was that what he said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was trying to read the lips, yes, but sir. I wasn't.
Yeah. ESPN picked it up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then he does, like, again, did he walk off and shove the guy or take a swing at him or get nose to nose? No, he said something to him. He's like, hey,
don't do that again. Yeah. And that's okay. Now, you want to clear the benches for that? Okay.
CNL Perez is still running back out to the bullpen.
Jorge Mateo came out there wishing to marry Franklin Wood. I'm just letting y'all know I'm here just in case.
Like,
I'm here for reinforcement. Swing if you want.
Like,
I loved it. Jorge Mateo gets a 7-day pass from me.
Yeah, like I said earlier, he ain't been hitting anything. He wanted to hit something.
He gets a 7-day. Anything he does for the next week, negative, I ain't talking about it.
Jorge's had like 4 hits the last five games.
Joe, my joke worked. Shut up.
Yeah, he did have 2 hits Sunday. Didn't
2
he?
Against Rodon.
Yeah.
He was one of the only ones that had 2 hits.
Yeah.
Right? Because we were talking about how bad everything was.
Jorge, I ain't bothered you for a week.
He's running up to you right now, Jeremy. I see him outside coming out Clarkview.
Now, he ain't passing CNL. The guy's running in from the bullpen. We all got to admit, that's the dumbest thing ever, right?
Michael Kay said it on the Yes Network. Right? He's like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
The best one ever is when Matt Albert's fat ass was running out and he had to stop and put his hands on his knees midway through. Like Fatty McGee.
But how cool would it be if that does happen and instead of the bullpens running out, they should just start
square
fighting.
Square off at the warning track.
I think that'd be awesome.
Not even
the warning track. You know, the Orioles, the bullpens are stacked on top of each other.
Right.
Just have them jump down. And let's go.
Give him the Macho Man, like, double hammer off the top rope.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to fight. They just want to be, you know, I just want to make sure my teammates know I'm here.
Well, look, to be fair. And
all president accounted for.
Outside of hockey, I'd say in most, we don't see a lot of fights in football. We've had a couple. But you get to go out there and probably hit the guy the next time.
I got a helmet on. I ain't.
Well, you get it.
Nobody.
But I'm just saying, like, hockey's different. All those guys, there ain't many people that want to fight. They just don't want to be pressed, and they can't look like a punk. You're right. That's all it is. It's the hold me back bros over and over and over again.
Is running out from the bullpen more stupid than NFL players punching each other with helmets on?
No.
No, that's the dumbest thing. Punching the with a helmet is the dumbest thing.
Well, hold on.
It's the dumbest thing.
They're pretty equal in my mind.
I think the running from the bullpen is dumb because if you get so angry, you'll do something stupid and throw a punch. They run from the bullpen every time there's a crowd.
Can I tell you why I think it's dumb?
Okay.
Running from the bullpen does not cause an injury. You are potentially injuring yourself, breaking your hand by hitting someone. That is, when you do something to injure yourself, it's dumb.
I mean, you're...
It's absolutely dumb.
You're right. I'm looking at it.
It's nonsense. See, running for the bullpen is nonsense.
Okay.
Hitting someone with a helmet on is dumb.
That's fair. That's because, like, I look at it and go, okay, in anger, like, I've done stupid things being angry.
There you go. Stupid.
Yeah. But I ain't never run out. I ain't never running 60 yards to just say hi to everybody on the other team to run back 60 yards. It ain't happening.
Joe, didn't you say the Orioles are 17-13 in the last 30 against the Yankees?
Correct.
You think, because to me, and the Yankees are always, everything they say is amplified. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Has Aaron Judge talked more trash? I was about to say nothing other than trash. Lord, help me.
By the way, I dropped
it. I ain't a Catholic.
I was on Glenn Clark show and I dropped an F-bomb.
Has Aaron Judge talked more trash about the Orioles over the last 4 years than any other team? Three years.
Yeah, because he's, look, as much as I love him, as great as he is, he cries about stuff. He's sitting here saying, well, I don't know why he was so upset. Why were you upset that they moved the wall in, buddy? Just hit it further. Because are you upset because your stadium has the smallest venue possible down the lines and you got your jet stream, so if you lift the fly ball in any other stadium, it goes out? I mean, come on, dude. Like, what is this, build a park? Shut up. Every park gets built, jackass. What are you talking about?
Oh, God created heaven and earth and the ballparks.
Yeah, that's right.
Except for Camden Yards.
Yeah, nobody ever makes changes at their ballparks.
No, seriously, like, it seems to me that he's talked more trash about the Orioles than any other team over the last three seasons, man.
That's because they're not our rival. They're
hitting
good
us. They're hitting us, man. I mean, come on, dude. We're dropping like flies. Hitting us in the head. I mean, you ain't going to treat us like your little brothers. I mean, we ain't having that. And that's all that Heston Kierstead said. Look, man, we ain't having this. Ben McDonald weighing on this at 9:30 on the other side. Charlie Morton moves to the bullpen for now. But do you see it as a long-term solution? I try to tell you all he's going to the bullpen. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, so we haven't closed the door on him starting yet, starting still. We're trying to get him going a little bit. We're going to continue to probably use him in the bullpen here for short term, and then we'll kind of see where we are, you know, as things kind of shake out. We got a couple off days to play with coming up.
Got an off day tonight before the Kansas City Royals come to town for a three-game series. He is Brandon Hyde, talking about Charlie Morton. This was the obvious decision for the Orioles to make, to put Morton in the bullpen. Kyle Gibson will take his place in the rotation for now. And the Orioles say they're not done with him in the rotation. That is an open-ended, we don't want to say we're done with him and then they need him later on down the road.
I get that.
Are there plans to use him right now? I'm going to say, can I get my best educated guess on this one?
Yes.
Right now, there are no plans to use him back in the rotation. Keyword is plans. However, it's open only if they need him back in the rotation. I think Charlie Morton, if the rotation goes well, you start getting guys back, and he doesn't work out in the bullpen, he has one foot out the door and the other on the banana peel. I think they're hoping, but I think they want him. And if for those of you who think it's just about the money, well, yeah, they want him to succeed because of the money. Yeah, I'm sure. You don't want to waste your money. But who doesn't want pitchers to succeed? It's pitchers, man.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of them. Yes, they want them to succeed.
I mean, we've talked about this, though, too. Like, I mean, I try to be as real as I can in understanding what some of these guys, when they're calling people innings eaters and what it means, and that guy's a professional hitter and all these things that happen and we joke about all the time. But you do need guys like that throughout 162 games to eat innings. The only thing, I saw this last year with Charlie with the Braves. And the Braves, like, Braves had so many injuries at pitcher, they don't want him starting games in the postseason. Because if you watch it down the stretch, even looking at the numbers, it's not even fair how bad he was down the stretch for them, because he was putting runners on all the time. And this is the problem. You're a veteran pitcher and you're walking this many guys. If you're walking this many guys and you're Lance Lynn, I'm listening to you, because that guy's only going to throw what he wants to throw.
Yeah.
And that's his makeup, and you knew that coming in. That's not Charlie Morton. You walked five guys in back-to-back game. You walked a nine-hole hitter twice in one game. The guy was hitting 150. And I get what they're saying. I don't want him to go to the bullpen and all of a sudden find success. And it's like, hey, let's give Charlie another start. I don't want that, man. It's just like,
see, I don't think that'll be the case unless they absolutely need him. And by the way, the Braves didn't use him in the postseason They didn't.
He was, again, the numbers don't look bad. But if you guys watch the games down the stretch and see how many guys he was putting on, and Houdini getting out of jams or being fortunate, he can still strike guys out. He showed that already this year, but I don't want it. I don't want it. The only good thing about the bullpen is once he faces three guys and they all get on base, you can take them out. It's just such a bad sign. Is this worse than the Kimbrel signing?
No. I'm going to tell you why. They didn't have a backup plan for Kimbrel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were all in on Kimbrel.
But would they have been better off not having a plan instead of having Craig Kimbrel?
I mean, it was all in on Kimbrel, and so, they spent the money here. This guy, Charlie Morton, if all things go well, you didn't know about the injuries. You signed Craig Kimbrel because of an injury. You knew about it. So he came in for that role. You signed Charlie Morton not knowing about all these injuries. If you get your guys back, then you can let Charlie Morton disappear. You could never let Craig Kimbrel disappear because the guy that he replaced
isn't here.
Wasn't coming back at all
until
this year.
Well, the other thing I'd say, like when we talked about our thought process with the season and what our expectations were, and people were like, oh, you picked them to go to the World Series. That was stupid. Yeah, it's clearly, if you'd have told me everybody got hurt, I wouldn't have picked them. But my thought process on the season was, you've got Eflin, Grayson, You have Dean Kramer, and then you have your two wild cards in Charlie Morton and Tommy. Whatever right. Tommy becomes, right. we don't know. My thought process was that more than likely, Tommy is the guy that ends up going to the bullpen mm-hmm. because he pitched every 6 days in Japan, and maybe that's the, he's not stretched out enough to go a full season. We'll find out. This has been the issue with a lot of Japanese pitchers coming over that aren't overpowering, like Yamamoto or Senga or whoever. You can pick whoever you want. That being said, Bradish was going to come back in June. So it's right. almost like, hey, I'm riding this wave with this. That's what we have to do. If Charlie Morton flames out, you got Povich in the minor leagues. You've got Trevor Rogers in the minor leagues, guys that you think can fill in. And I know people are going, oh, Trevor Rogers. Like, guys, it's their bodies, their arms. You need multiple pitchers throughout the season if you haven't seen that already. So when it came down to it, yeah, I thought they were fine pitching. And I also thought they might even make a move at the deadline to add a frontline arm to go along with the guys they had.
I haven't written the end of Trevor Rogers' career, man. I just haven't.
Not me.
I've not done that.
Apparently, I'm his biggest fan.
I'm not willing to say it's over with him. You know what I mean? I want to see him come back because they're being real careful with him, which normally tells me when you're not bringing a guy around because of desperation, you're letting it cook. You're letting it simmer. When you bring a guy up, knowing, like, for instance, the infielders that they bring up right now, them guys, that's as good as they're going to get.
Yeah.
You ain't worried about bringing them up. You ain't ruining nothing. Bring them up. This is it.
Yeah.
You're not trying to bring Mayo up right now because he's not ready. You don't want to ruin what he has. So the fact that, you know, they're kind of slow walking it with Rogers kind of lets me know that they believe in what they're doing right now with him.
Well, that's why I said earlier, and again, I know a lot of people will disagree with me. The window has been open and it's staying open for how they're going to run this business. Right. You may not like it. And again, I don't know what happens with new ownership. Does it allow you to run your business like the Rays and spend more money? You know, if you're going to be smart with your draft picks, you're going to be high on developing guys.
Right.
You're not going to trade your top end prospects to get something for a quick, you know, mm-hmm. a quick run. That's what the Rays do. They wait until Chris Archer gets traded. And we all were saying, man, I can't believe what they got back for him. And if you guys remember, Chris Archer was one of the best pitchers in baseball for a period of time.
He was.
So they move him on. Tyler Glasnow is always hurt. I'm going, I can't believe they traded Glasnow to the Dodgers. And what's he again? Hurt. You know, so they've made smart decisions on almost everything they've done along the way, with the one miss being, and it's not their fault, that Wander Franco couldn't stay away from children. You know, like that's the one miss that's going on with them. You lose your best hitter, or arguably your best hitter, in the middle of your lineup, and you're a low payroll team. How do you replace that production?
It's hard to.
And again, you're seeing some, so with the Rays, like we talk about when you're going to see Enrique Bradfield Jr. and Kobe Mayo, and maybe you see Beavers or Judd Fabian and all these guys that are working their way up. Maybe some of those guys get traded. I don't know. But when you have that, look at the Rays. The Rays just caught up the guy that led all of minor leagues in stolen bases. He just got a call.
Yeah.
Junior Caminero's there. That's another young prospect for them. I mean, they've got a ton of those guys on their team. Because if you look at their lineup, you're going, who are these people? Like, you talk about...
prospects they believe in.
God forbid. You talk about the way that Brandon Hyde moves his lineup around. Have you ever watched what they do down in Tampa? Brandon Lau might be their best hitter. They pinch hit for him whenever he's facing a left-handed pitcher and bring in somebody else. They do it every effing time.
They have a formula, and they stick to the formula. And you said, you'll go with math all the time.
Yeah.
Joe LaCroix's Encore 9:45, but on the other side, Ben McDonald joins us. I'm going to ask Ben what he thought of the bench clearing meeting. Up next right here on The Fan. 9:31 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline. Color analyst for the Baltimore Orioles, former one of one, he is Ben McDonald. Good morning to you, Ben.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing well. Before we get to the pitching, hitting, and running of the game, I want to go to that benches clearing meeting that took place at second base last night.
Everybody said hi. Hey, yeah. How you guys doing? How's the game going? That's great.
How's the wife and kids? Where'd y'all eat last night? Okay, let's go back and dugout.
I think Heston Kjerstad was completely within bounds to feel the way he felt, because I thought he put a little extra mustard on that hot dog on the way down, a little shove. And I also think with the way this team has been going right now, that wasn't a bad thing for this team to try to see if they still have a pulse. And by the way, Jorge Mateo gets a week-long pass. No matter what he does for the next week, I'm not talking bad about him because he was the first one on the scene. He's the first responder.
That dude looked like Flash Gordon going out there, didn't he? I mean, he was. I thought it was Mullins at first because Mullins was on deck, you know. Now I got to look at it. I said, no, that's Georgie. But, yeah, I get cursed out. I mean, remember last year, you know, he was rolling really good, guys, about 13 good games in a row, and then he got hit in the head by the Yankees and Clay Holmes, and it really set him back and messed up the rest of his year. So you know that thought was in the back of his mind. And then when that happened and Reyes kind of came down on him a little bit there, you know, I was okay because he had to go up and get the ball, but I'm with you guys. I saw a little bit of a shove and a push to get away and to go get the ball. And I think that's where Kerstad took exception to it. And Rob, when you texted me last night during the game, I totally agreed. I mean, this is what this team needs. This team needed a wake-up call. This team needed something to happen to kind of energize them. And it did bring me back to the 93 team that I was on, Rob. And I told you about that team, started off 10-17. And remember the 93 team, we had that giant bench-clearing brawl, arguably the top 10 brawl in the history of Major League Baseball. And that kind of brought us together against the Mariners, you know, many, many years ago. And so, yeah, I think it was a good thing. I'm glad for Heston for sticking up for himself, you know, and say, hey, we're not taking this anymore, you know. And so good for the Orioles. It was a – look, guys, I mean, I know, and I said it on the air last night. I said, this feels like – and I hate to say this in the month of April because it's the first month of the season – that this feels like a must-win game last night to beat the Yankees, to win two or three, to try to get some momentum going into May. And I'm just glad they won. And so hopefully this is going to be something that kind of gets them a little bit more consistent and gets them going forward through May and June.
Do they run drill? Like, the Ravens have a conditioning drill that you have to pass. Do they run, like, 60-yard sprints for the bullpen to see how fast they can get to the infield? Because it is the dumbest thing that I think I see watching baseball is those guys. Like, CNL Perez, it looked like he was chasing Mr. Freeze down in Atlanta or whatever.
I know.
He's just barreling, man.
They're going to fight. I'd rather just see the infielders fight and then the bullpen guys just get out in center field and fight each other. You know, that way everybody got to run in the field. We have two different fights at one time going on if it's ever going to happen, you know?
Yeah, Ben, outside of that and joking about the brawl that wasn't, some of the other things, we're starting to see Jackson hit a little bit more and play better over his last nine games. Do you think we're starting to see him turn that corner a little bit, or is it still way too early because it's baseball?
No, look, I think he's definitely better. There's no two ways around that. I mean, he is his swing decisions are better. I think mechanically with that, without the big high leg kick that he had last year, he puts himself in a better hitting position early. So I'm seeing some – now, I still want to see some improvements against left-handed pitching. I think that's the next step for him. And look, he's getting better there too. There's no doubt about that. And he's moving in the right direction. And he made his very first error of the season the other day. So I think he's been solid on defense. You know, and he's hung in there. He feels more comfortable. He looks more comfortable to me. And so, yeah, I'm pretty pleased where Jackson is right now because I think going on in, we said, look, if Jackson could just hit 240 this year and hit the ball out of the ballpark every now and then, play a good solid defense, he's on pace today. He's hitting over 240 right now. So I'm kind of pleased where Jackson is. I think the bigger questions are people like Kerstad, who got a couple hits like here last night, Mountcastle, who hit his first homer in a while last night. Those are the guys that the Orioles need to get some consistency out of them and get them going a little bit. You know, obviously losing Westberg in that lineup really hurts. We know about Kowser. And look, I'm not making excuses, but when you lose 13 guys and you got 13 guys on the IL, it's tough, man. I'm telling you, it is very tough to be where you want to be, and that's kind of where the Orioles are right now.
It's not excuses. It's reasons. It's not excuses. It's reasons. There's a difference between excuses. Excuses is all the guys are in the lineup and not doing things, and we're trying to find reasons why they're not. But when guys aren't there, that's a legit reason. You lost the first three guys in your rotation.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, pitching, I don't care what anybody says, pitching, it has always and will always be the most important thing in this game we call baseball. You got to have pitching because we've seen it, man. When the starters go out for the Orioles and they give you a chance to win, this team's got a chance to win. Has the offense done? We hoped it would done. Absolutely not. The offense isn't there yet. And honestly, guys, the Orioles in the month of April didn't play well in any phases of the game. You can look at hitting. Yeah. You can look at runners in scoring position. You know, you can look at pitching, starters, ERA, boom. And look, nothing went well for the Orioles. And so there's nowhere to go but up right here. And so, look, this is about, for me, this is about hanging on in the month of May, playing 500 baseball in the month of May, maybe a shade above if you can. And then you start to roll some of your guys back into this in the month of June. You start to get Eflin back. You hope you get Grayson Rodriguez back. You know Kyle Bradish is coming. Kittredge is coming. He's really close. And so you start to roll some dudes back in come the month of June, the way I look at it. So right now it's about, let's keep our head above water. Let's hang on. Let's stay within striking distance. And then we're going to show you something come July, August, and September.
Ben McDonald joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You brought up a guy, Ryan Mountcastle. Mounting his head, came in the last night with two hits in his last 10 games. Average dropped from 259 to 191 going into last night's game. He looked like there was weight lifted from his shoulders as he was rounding first base, rounding the bases last night at that home run. I know it's only one hit, but I feel like Mounty is one of those guys that's really pressing right now, and he's kind of in his own head.
Yeah, I don't disagree, Rob. And you know, what did you see from Mounty last night? I saw him do what for the first time in how long last night, Rob? He smiled, right? Last night after hitting that home run. That's what I've been wanting to – because that dude is a fun-loving, kind of go-easy kind of dude, likes to have a good time, smiling all the time. He ain't been smiling much. And I'm going to tell people at home that's never played this game at this level, this game is not fun, guys, when you're not winning. I'm just telling you, when you're not – everybody says, oh, it's big league baseball. It's got to be great. You know, you're making money. You're in the big – no, all those things are true. But at the end of the day, you want to have success. You want to do well individually. You want to do well as a team. And this game, I've been there before, guys, and I remember it like it was yesterday. When you're not going well individually or as a team, this game is not fun. It's just not, you know. And so the boys hadn't been having fun because they hadn't been playing well. And to see Mounty smile last night, man, I got a kick out of that just to see him great. Because we know, guys, look, we've seen it before the last 4 or 5 years. When Mounty heats up, he'll just say, hop on, boys. Just hop on these broad, wide shoulders I got. I'm going to carry you guys for a while. He can do that, man. So good to see him get going. We know Adley's been scuffling a little bit. He got a couple of hits last night. You know, Gunner got another hit. Sayed got another hit. You know, Jackson got a hit. Mounty, you talked about. Kerstad got two. And I mean, the bottom part of that lineup, and I mentioned it last night, you know, Holiday, Mountcastle, Kerstad, and Urias. And this is what separated the Orioles, I felt like, the previous 2 or 3 years. They would get production at the bottom of the lineup. They got it last night. I mean, I think those bottom four went 6 for 16, hit both home runs, drove in 4 of the 5 runs. And so I was happy to see the offensive production. Now, look, runners in scoring position, guys, it is still an issue. I mean, I was talking about that last night. You go 2 for 21 in a 3-game series, and you beat the Yankees 2 out of 3 by going 2 for 21 with runners in scoring position. That doesn't happen every series. So that's still got to get a lot better, the runners in scoring position. But, hey, let's enjoy this. It's an off day today. They knock off the best team in the AL East 2 out of 3 and hopefully building some momentum going forward.
Yeah, I just feel bad for Mounty because he's not going to see his kids, the Toronto Blue Jays, until the end of July. So that's not going to help him get right. Hey, I brought up earlier Kobe Mayo's absolutely killing it against left-handed pitching in the minors. His OPS starts with a 2, and that's before the point. What are your thoughts? Because, like, we've talked about how this team didn't want to trade their prospects away because they really believe they're going to be superstars as well. I like what they've done. And I'm dying to see Kobe Mayo at the major league level for an extended cup of coffee, but I get the jostling of the roster and how you got to do things. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from Mayo, not only in spring training, but last year as well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he had a great year at the AAA level last year. Then he comes to the big leagues, and not any different than a lot of prospects that come up here. You know, I mean, we saw Jackson, we saw Rutschman, we saw others come up from AAA. Colton Cowser. It's an adjustment up here, you know, and we talk, and what people have to understand, this is the biggest gap, in my opinion, from AAA to the big leagues that we've ever seen. If you can pitch at all and you're left-handed, you're not in AAA, you're in the big leagues. If you can really pitch because of the injuries, you're not pitching in AAA, you're in the big leagues. So what I'm getting at is AAA pitching now is really AA pitching because there's been so many injuries and so many guys elevated to the big leagues. You're bringing up guys from AA to AAA. So sometimes the numbers can be skewed. I remember last year we looked at it, the average big league hitter hit 243, the average AAA hitter hit 267 last year. And so it's a little bit different in AAA. I thought Mayo was, I'm not going to say he got dominated to big league level last year, but there were some holes, and they quickly found those holes with Mayo. And look, he had a little bit of a rough spring this year. We know that. And he had a little bit of a rough start in AAA this year, but he's gotten it going lately. There's no doubt he's a big leaguer, in my opinion. There's no doubt he's going to play in the big leagues, and he's going to play for a while. Is he ready yet? You don't know until you bring him up, but you got to find a place to put him, right? That's the challenge right now because Urias has been so big over at third base, you know, and you're not moving him at third base. And Mountcastle, if he gets going, I mean, he's not going to be the guy you're going to bench for Colby Mayo right now, you know, because Mountie's better on defense and he's got that experience. So I think the biggest challenge for Mayo right now is going to be finding a place to play. Having said that, I think he will be a trade piece, in my opinion. I think the Orioles are going to hope he burns up AAA again this year and get his value to as high as they can get it, and they're going to use him at some point in time around the trade deadline, in my opinion, to go get a pitcher.
That means Mountie stays, I guess. You know, Jeremy talked about Mountie's kids to Toronto Blue Jays. Between you and I, Ben, Jeremy talks about Mayo so much, I think he might be his kid.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, here's the thing about next year, and I'm just projecting this forward. You got a kid by the name of Basayo that's down there in AAA right now, or AA, wherever he's at. Eventually, he's going to make his way to Baltimore, either as a catcher, a DH, or a first baseman, or a combination of the three, which is probably what's going to happen. And so that very well could be your first baseman of the future. It could be Basayo when he's not catching. And you could see a Rutschman Basayo platoon situation between DH, you know, over there, catching position, and of course, first base. That is going to be an option down the road as well.
Rob, I know it's not my time with the stupid dad jokes, but did you guys know that I had a horse named Mayo? It makes me laugh every time mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, I remember that movie. And we got the Kentucky Derby coming up this weekend. So,
yeah, Preakness in a few weeks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, Ben, thanks a lot, my friend. Enjoy your day off. We got the Royals in town, man.
All right, go O's.
Go O's. Thanks a lot. That's Ben McDonald.
Oh, my God. He's one of the best, man.
Mayonnaise. That call last night was for Baker? That call got you pumped up. Joe played a little bit earlier. Speaking of Joe, he has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I want to give credit to the empty suit. He did it. LeBrosi did it. That cat would come around and go, "How's my favorite show doing?" And before you could answer, he'd go, "All right then," and just keep walking. Clown. What a clown, man. What a clown. That's the same. Hold on. That's the same cat. Now I'm going to go off because I'm off tomorrow. That's the same cat that asked me to come in on Christmas Eve to fill in because Anita was off. I left my in-laws, my wife's family, to come all the way from Davidsonville down here to Falls Road to walk down the hall to see Gary Stein and Brett Hollander here. And I'm like, what's Brett Hollander doing here? He goes, "Oh, we decided to give Brett the opportunity to do the show." And I'm like, you had me on a holiday drive in to do the show. "Yeah, we just think Brett's a little bit better than you." Really? That's what you think? They were going to give Brett my, I don't mind saying this, they were going to give Brett my job and then try to move me to updates and weekends, which that wasn't going to happen. And luckily, Brett took the job at BAL, and here I am now. Everybody's so smart, they know who to put on the shows and what's going to be good. And that's what that cat was going to do.
He's not sore at all, Ed.
I meant F him. He's not.
And that's the encore for today.
And can I make it clear, like, I'm friends with Brett, so there's no negative thing there. It's just this part of this business. And I know you.
And I'm friends with LeBrosi.
Now Rob and I aren't friends anymore.
And Brett. Brett's a dude.
He's a good guy.
I thought Brett was this typical
sheltered
private school kid that didn't know anything about anything. Brett Hollander is a dude. He and I on the road together, drink a bourbon, eat our steak, talk our trash. He is a Baltimore dude.
And I would never work for that guy that you like ever again if they ever brought his ass back here.
Couple of national days today. National Investing Day. That's not a bad idea. Also, a school principal's day today. National Chocolate Parfait Day. You like parfaits?
Man, parfaits is delicious.
National Loyalty Day. And today is something I'm going to do for you, Jeremy.
What's that?
National Day of Prayer. Yes.
We have to pray just to make it today.
That's why we pray.
Yeah.
A couple of birthdays today. Eddie Johnson, former NBA player, coach, 66 today. Charlie O'Brien, former baseball player, 64 today. Former wide receiver for the Washington Redskins back then. Gary Clark turned 63 today. Stuart Appleby turns 54 today. Wes Welker, you heard us earlier, he turns 44 today. And Marcus Stroman of the Yankees turns 34 today. I don't know if you know these guys, Joe, but I'm going to try. Former quarterback, offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, and former running back, Curtis Martin, both share a birthday today. Do you know any of those guys, Joe?
Yeah, I know them both.
Okay, who's older?
Van Pelt.
Van Pelt? Jeremy?
Curtis,
my favorite, Martin.
Yeah, Curtis Martin, one of the more underrated players in NFL history.
He is probably one of the most underrated.
I'll go Martin.
Go with Martin?
Yeah.
All right. Curtis Martin today turns 52. He's younger than me. Man. Alex Van Pelt turns 55. You're wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't think you knew those. You didn't know who Stuart Appleby was. I didn't know if you knew who Van Pelt was.
Well, all right, I got a couple things for you. SCUBA stands for Self-Contained Underwater Breathing Apparatus. But did you know TUBA is also an acronym?
What is that?
For Terrible Underwater Breathing Apparatus. Don't take a tuba. That was so stupid. Why couldn't the lizard get a girlfriend? Because he had reptile dysfunction.
Oh, okay.
A reptile dysfunction. My girlfriend was looking at buying a pear tree, and they can grow 18 to 20 feet. Said I prefer if it grew pears. I hate feet, Rob. Joe, see, when he said 18, he thought they were going to grow 18 feet
tall
on the tree, like feet.
18 yeah. feet as in non-pear.
The day after my surgery, the nurse walked in and said, I'm here to change your dressing. I'm like, thank God, this vinaigrette sucks. I've been selling handbags part-time. It's not a salary position, but I do get a percent. A purse cent. All right, sorry.
I didn't like that one.
Okay, it's fine. Right. You might like this. I dig, you dig, we dig, she dig, he dig, they dig. It's not a beautiful poem, but it's very deep. And this is kind of like the elephant one the other day. What do you call a lion whose car breaks down 10 kilometers before he reaches the zoo? You call that some bitch a taxi. My son was telling me a joke about communism, but he was taking too long. I told him to quit Stalin and get to the punchline already. See the Stalin. That's
we like, got it.
Okay. I saw a fat ghost working out today in the gym. I had to say it. That's the spirit. And lastly, for the guy that invented Zero, thanks for nothing.
I didn't get that.
So the guy that invented Zero.
It. I loved it.
Thanks for
it.
Zero's nothing.
Lots of afternoon baseball today.
Joe,
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven games. Seven afternoon baseball games.
Seven.
Today. That's right. Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Thirsty Thursday.